Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with June Huber, Chief Knowledge Officer at the General Services Administration. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Steve Seekett. Well, June, one of the things you did mention in the last segment was technology. Is knowledge management all about technology?
Well, I certainly don't think it's all about technology, although technology can be an important part of it. I like to think about the relationship between knowledge management and information technology, or IT, a little bit like the relationship between you and your treadmill. If you wake up one morning and look in the mirror and decide it's time to start an exercise program, and the first thing you do is go out and buy a treadmill and set it up in your basement, but if you don't really have a serious commitment to doing this exercise program, your treadmill is going to sit down in the basement either collecting dust or serving as a clothes horse. And I think most people can relate to that. I know I can. But in terms of knowledge management, you need to have an organizational will, and it's got to be supported from the top, to share information. And once people want to do that, then technology can really help you do that, particularly among people who aren't in the same location. But if you just decide that we're going to do knowledge management in our organization and go off and buy a complicated software system and set it up to do knowledge management and assume that just because it's there, your associates are going to enter knowledge into it and miraculously achieve knowledge management, you are absolutely wrong.
Knowledge management is something that really cuts across the entire organization. Has it had an effect on the culture at GSA? And maybe you could speak a little bit about the culture you're trying to create at GSA.
I think knowledge management has had an effect on GSA's culture, although it has in fact been gradual. As I said earlier, we've been experimenting with knowledge management for a couple of years now. And one of the things that we've tried to do is to share throughout the organization the stories about what we've been doing and encourage people who've been involved in knowledge management activities to share their lessons learned and share the results of their experiments with their peers. Another thing we've done is we've established a knowledge management newsletter, and every week or so we send out to various managers and employees in GSA information about what is GSA doing in knowledge management, what is the federal government doing in knowledge management, and then just generally what's new information in the field of knowledge management. So educating people is a very important part of it, but most of that education, when people really grab hold of the idea, it's not going to be because the chief knowledge officer or either of my two knowledge managers are telling them that it's a good thing. It's going to be because they're hearing from other people in GSA who've actually used it and gotten benefit from it, from their peers. Yes, it is in fact a good thing. That's going to be a lot more believable.
Well, skeptics have suggested that knowledge management is very difficult to implement. Has GSA had this experience?
It's difficult because sometimes it's hard to find the right solution for the right problem. It really does depend upon the nature and the culture of the organization. In GSA, we have everything from very, very high-tech savvy organizations, particularly, for example, in our Federal Technology Service, or in our Office of Government-Wide Policy, which is heavily involved in e-government, to organizations that are much more comfortable with people sitting down over a brown bag lunch and talking to each other. We also have parts of the organization that have built a pretty substantial level of trust among their associates, and they're comfortable and willing to share information because they've seen the benefit of it. And we've got other parts of GSA where, for a variety of reasons, people may not trust each other enough at this point in time to be willing to share what they see as the knowledge that's their property and what what makes them special from everybody else. And so it really, those are some of the challenges. You've got to build trust, and you've got to find a solution that people are going to be comfortable using. It can't take a whole lot of extra effort because people are busy already.
There's this contrast that you've got to deal with, and one is that knowledge management is sometimes considered to be a long-term effort, and yet your leaders are saying, you know, show me some immediate results. And I'm wondering what kind of evaluation, kind of processes that you've put in place to see how things are going, and, you know, what kind of results you've seen from that.
Well, we're focusing on that right now as we look at what kinds of knowledge management activities we should be devoting our resources to in order to really make a difference in our business performance. And the framework that we're looking at right now before we begin an activity is, number one, are we using it to help solve a business problem that already exists? In other words, we don't want to make up an issue so that we have an opportunity to use knowledge management. We want to apply knowledge management to something, to a business issue, to a business problem that somebody already believes is an issue, and it's got to be the manager of that organization. So we want to help solve a real problem. Secondly, we'd like to make sure that the top management of that organization not only buys into the use of knowledge management to make a difference, but in fact visibly supports it, because his or her people are going to be spending some time in learning how to use knowledge management tools and then implementing them, and that needs to be seen as a valuable contribution to the organization. The next to last item is that we, as I said earlier, we want to make sure that there's a way of identifying when or whether you've achieved success. Say you're going to establish a community of practice in a certain area, you want to be able to say up front, we're establishing this community of practice in order to create greater employee satisfaction in this business unit so that they will work better together as a team. So you want to see that up front, and you want to have an objective to look at the satisfaction scores of that organization the next time that there's an employee survey and see, did it make a difference?
In some organizations, employees have incentives to hoard information, job position, job security. How do you overcome this incentive and encourage employees to share information?
That has been something that my colleagues and I in other federal agencies are still grappling with everywhere. The old hierarchical organizational culture, where A reported to B, reported to C, reported to D, and manager D guarded his or her turf religiously, and the whole concept where knowledge is power, and if I have the knowledge and nobody else has the knowledge, that means I'm more powerful. That kind of organizational thinking is changing, but it's not changing uniformly, and it's not changing everywhere at the same rate. And convincing people, teaching people, usually by example, that an organization is going to be more efficient and more productive and in the end more successful if more of their associates have more knowledge, and if managers share what they know with their other manager colleagues for the good of the whole organization so that everybody's heading in the same direction, that's going to deliver better results. I believe that that's the case. Most people believe that that's the case. But getting an organization and getting individuals to not only hear it, but actually believe it and practice it is another thing. So that's another organizational challenge that goes beyond knowledge management itself.
June, for those agencies and organizations that are out there that are trying to kick off their own knowledge management efforts, what would be the lessons learned that you'd want to share with them?
I believe that what we did in the past, which is think big picture, but have local initiatives and let people experiment with it in the beginning is a really good approach, because it allows an organization to devote relatively few resources to it in the beginning, so you don't take a big risk. And it lets you learn, but also lets you make mistakes and find out what works and what doesn't, without having a big impact right in the beginning when you're more likely to make more mistakes. And it gives people an opportunity also to try different things and find out what's more likely to be successful in your organization, rather than having a bunch of managers sitting around in a room make a decision that we're going to go with solution X without knowing whether solution X is really going to fit in your agency or your organization.
Well, it's time for a break, and stick with us through the break as we continue our conversation with June Huber of GSA. When we come back, we'll find out if knowledge management could solve the human capital crisis. This is the Business of Government Hour.